Welcome back to HTP Podcast, where we go beyond just strokes and strategy. And our mission here is to change the culture of tennis, having one conversation at a time through a more holistic approach. And today I have Leslie here. Really cool. I actually work for Leslie and her nonprofit On the Court. And I just have to say, I'm so grateful for you and your organization because I was at a point in my life where I was really missing tennis. I knew I wanted to get back in tennis. I just didn't know how or what that looked like. I knew I couldn't coach the way I used to. It was just really hard for me at that time to see what that would look like. And through a series of connections, we ran into each other and it just funny enough, we just fit. And it was for me, that is so divinely that it just happened that way. And I just have to say, I'm so grateful for you because you really, you and Serve the Future brought so much more fulfillment back in my life that I was really, really missing at that time.
Thank you so much, Jira, for having me on your podcast. And I want to say I'm so grateful for you. And I knew that you were reticent at first, and I felt that. And I was like, I need this person. I want this person on my team. And I'm like, I will do anything to get this person to stay because she is amazing. And all the stuff that you bring to the court is just it makes the organization so much better. But to talk about me and my tennis history and everything. I started playing when I was three. I grew up in a tennis family. My mom was an athlete. She played in college different sports, and my dad taught himself tennis, reading books, as many of that generation, I believe, did, watching some or hearing them on TV. And so we brought that to us. They did introduce other sports to us. And when I say us, I have an older sister and a younger brother, and we're very close in age. And so the three of us grew up playing and competing with each other. So it was a very competitive household. We did play USTA tournaments. The club that we grew up in, it wasn't a big tennis area. It was Lima, Ohio. And so what they would do is the top juniors, they would use this as cheap labor. We would coach the younger students. So I started coaching when I was 15.
Wow.
It was I was like, what is this at first? You're a young 15, you're like, why are they? I don't know how to connect with 5-year-olds. What am I doing? Loved it, and I continued, and it was always a part-time summer break job whenever, during college. And after I went to D1 college and I played tennis, and I actually lived with my brother for my senior year and my fifth year senior after I went to study abroad. We actually played at the same school where I originally started at Youngstown State, and he's like, I need more tennis. I need more structure in the tennis program. After his freshman year, he started looking around and he found University of Idaho. During that summer before his freshman and sophomore year, he burst into my room because, of course, we're 3 hours behind Ohio. And he said, Leslie, they have a woman's scholarship that opened and I want you to take it.
Wow.
And yeah, and I was like, okay, I'll go. And no thought, no second thoughts. I was in. It's one of the best decisions I ever made.
Oh, I love that.
And I want to touch on that because I think that's one of the reasons how I believe that I'm so successful now is that I went off to college in Ohio, and then I went and transferred to another state, another program. I lived with my brother, and then I was studied abroad and in France. And then I went back to Ohio and I went to grad school. And then after grad school, I went to Houston because after grad school, I was like, I don't want to stay in Ohio. My sister got she finished med school and she got a residency in Houston. I was like, I'll go with you because obviously I don't have a plan right now. I know that Ohio is not where I want to be and I got to go. I just got to get out of here. The constant moving and constant creation of establishing friendships and a network. And tennis was just such a connection with people. When you play at a certain level, it's easier to find people that want to play with you, I think.
Yeah.
And that was really helpful for establishing relationships. And they recognize the work that you put in to get to that level.
Yeah.
And so I started coaching in Houston. I worked at a club for about 11 7 years, and it was a racket facility. We had like 30 courts, you know.
Wow, that's huge.
Yeah, it was, and there were a lot of things going on throughout that time and throughout my coaching career. I never really had a mentor. I didn't have anyone to say, you know, this is the next move you should make. And, you know, it's funny, you and I are coaching Leo through the RSPA process, which has been
Who's a
with.
coach at Serve the Future?
I took my USPTA when I was going down to Houston, and I didn't pass. And I didn't have anybody following up and going, Leslie, all you need to do is this and retake it. And it was a completely different process. And I said, well, you know, I don't, screw that. You know, I know I can coach. I don't need some organization. And then you lose, but you lose that network when you don't have it. So it was a big loss, I think, for them and for me. And it set me back in terms of career and thinking it was a career. So I went to this club, and you know, and I always in my back of my mind, I'm like, this isn't what I'm going to do with my life. This is how I make money right now. And it was really interesting because I was there. We had Hurricane Harvey 2018, 2019, and the pro from down the street, literally like a mile away, came down and he saw my work ethic and he saw what I wanted, the structure that I wanted on the court. And they were there because of Hurricane Harvey. I'm sorry, I didn't explain that. Their club got flooded. So the owner allowed members from that club to use our club. So that's how he saw me and my work ethic. And he pulled me aside later and he said, Leslie, come be my junior director. And it was a very hard decision because I had been at this other club for so long and I didn't see myself anywhere else. And this is where my husband actually was like, Leslie, you need to make this move. This is your next move in your career. And I'm so glad that I did that. It was another move, right? Another way to figure out who I am in a whole new client, whole new environment. What are the expectations? It was amazing. I loved it. And but then, of course, after I get this great job, my husband says, Leslie, I don't want to live in Houston anymore. We're gonna go to Phoenix. And I'm like, are you kidding me? You told me to get this job. So we move. I don't know if you want me to stop there, and
Oh,
here I am.
keep, yeah, no, keep going, keep going.
Okay, so everybody has connections everywhere. So at the club, you know, the members were, it was really sad. We had my last juniors class, there were like 20 girls, 20 little girls, about 10, around 10, and their parents came out and I didn't know. And they had like a little party for me. It was just the sweetest. And some of the parents gave me connections to people in Phoenix. Yeah, and they extended, and I took that hook and I said, hey, I'm coming. Can I, you know, let's set up a play date. And you know, really the rest is history, because through that one connection, I took it and ran, and I fell in. I went under the wing of a former government official, and he was a consultant for a nonprofit. There we are. And exposure, I had never been involved in any kind of nonprofit. This is not
And
a
for those
hurdle.
who don't know, can you just share a little bit about Serve the Future and it being a nonprofit and your mission? Just kind of touch on that before you go deeper.
Serve the Future is a mission to positively impact youth from underserved communities by building responsibility, perseverance, and this is where I am like, this is so long, but I'm like, all that good stuff and building up young people through tennis. And it is our vehicle to try to make society healthier, mentally and physically. And that's one of the things when I was missing throughout the career is like, I love tennis, I love coaching. And you know, I would do it for free. And so I am. And this is like my mission, but I didn't know I could do this for free and still make a living, which is crazy. It doesn't sound right. But it's so I hope that I answer that. We serve underserved youth in the Phoenix Union School District and beyond. They are a 96% minority district, which is federally mandated, desegregated, funded district. All that is to say is that all of the money that's in the region at back in the 70s, all of the resources left and went to, you know, Paradise Valley and Hollywood, Scottsdale, all the surrounding district, wealthy
Okay.
district. So there was
Okay.
no money left. And so you could see it in the education scores. You could see it in poverty levels.
Okay.
The 96 minority district, because they couldn't pay good teachers. They couldn't pay. And so the city couldn't do anything. The state wouldn't do anything. The federal government came in and said, okay, surrounding districts, you guys now have to pay tax that will then go to that district. So that it kind of helps to even it out. Equality, but it's not equity,
Okay.
which is significant. So that is our primary target. Although a lot of, we have kids now that are traveling from Tempe and other school districts.
Yeah, that's amazing, Leslie. Really is. What is one thing you wish you knew when you first started Serve the Future as a nonprofit, or maybe just as a coach too? Like, what's one thing you wish you knew when you first started out that you could like help someone if they're starting out their own nonprofit, or even someone who is just getting into coaching? What's one thing you really wish you knew?
For someone who wants to start their own nonprofit, you gotta be flexible. You have to be open and willing to learn anything and everything that has to do with nonprofit, or be willing to ask someone and have the patience to get rejected and just learn piece by piece, because there are so many facets. As in building a business, you don't know. As a tennis pro, usually we are underneath another organization. We don't build our own organization. Or even the independent coaches, you don't have to deal with tax law or putting in, this is registering. You don't have to get a lawyer. You don't have to fundraise for your own nonprofit. I mean, there are so many different skills that if you aren't in it 100%, you're going to be
Not for
fighting
you.
yourself. Not for you.
Yeah, it's not for you. Yeah. It sounds like you have to have a real passion and love to really be able to see it through.
Yes.
And I feel like that's really common for like any entrepreneur too. Like, I mean, entrepreneurship is not for the weak. Like, you go through so many hurdles and
Yes.
always battling. It feels that way. And if you're the beauty of tennis is we do have great connection and community, but if you don't have that, you really feel like you're alone trying to build something. A lot of the time you don't even get to see the fruits of your labor till years down the line. And I think too,
Yeah.
where social media today, it really does us a disservice in that, because we think like, oh, you know, someone just hit a million views and they did that overnight or something. It's like nothing happens overnight. They did a lot of other steps before that happened, even if it, you know, initially shows that they just started their social media account. They've been doing so many other things behind the scenes. So yeah, entrepreneur is not an easy thing, but it is very rewarding because there you do have so much passion and love for it. I think that's one of the things I was immediately drawn to you about, like before. I mean, what we did, our first conversation was over the phone. Like, we didn't even meet each other. We didn't even see each other through Zoom or whatnot. And I was like, I could just feel the passion from you. And I'm sure you felt the same for me. And I was like, yes, like we have to get together. So on hard days, what keeps you motivated?
The kids do. There'll be a student where I know that I didn't say something right, or I know that they're like, you know what, Serve the Future isn't for me, and that really it breaks my heart. But then I go, you know what, that's okay. They're going through something, or maybe this they don't need me, and you know what, good for them, they don't need us. But then I know that there are so many other kids that we've opened the door to in so many ways. And there's a student that I first had back, when I first started in 2020, and she texted me. She's at college, she's finishing college. She said, Leslie, my two younger twin brothers, I want them to come to tennis. And they're in tennis and they love it. And they came like every day they could. And something like that, I know that it's meant to be, it's supposed to be there. And that's what gets me through the hard days.
Oh, I love that. Last question to kind of wrap it up is going to be a tough one. But if you could pick one of your favorite moments with Serve the Future, what would it be? I'm sure there's a lot. You can just share one that really hits home for you. I know there's a lot for you.
Key is so special. And he's one of the students, and he's been coming since 2021. His cousins brought him, and he's quirky, and sometimes he does not listen. And I'm like, "Where are you, child? Where are you?" But he texts me on Mother's Day, and he created a shirt for me for my birthday last year.
That's
And
so sweet and so
I know that somewhere in that crazy head of his, that
thoughtful.
brilliant head, and he's doing a class, online at MIT right now.
Yeah, brilliant.
I know that it makes me want to cry because, that connection, that special connection is amazing.
That's awesome. I love that. Thank you for sharing that. Yeah, I mean, he's brilliant. He has such a bright future for him. I mean, he definitely thinks on different levels, that's for sure. So amazing. Thank you so much for sharing today and about Serve the Future. If any one of you who are listening to this and want to donate to the organization, where can they do that at?
You can go on servethefuture.org, and that will lead you to our, you can go on Instagram, which is at servethefutureaz, and it's easy. We are also on LinkedIn, Serve the Future AZ. There's lots of ways. You can always contact me. I'm sure the links will be in the podcast notes if you want to know more, and if you want to come out and participate in practice, we'd love that.
Awesome. All right. If you like these tennis tales, please follow, share, and like.
Thank you.